Sorry, my computer had a problem. Hello, everyone, and thank you for your patience. There was a little technical difficulty, and while my computer was restarting, all I could think of was Laureen and her meditations that she does. And so instead of cussing up a storm or freaking out, well, I did that at first. I freaked out, and then I started breathing, and I started centering myself, and I just thought of Doreen, and how she helped teach me how to do that. Doreen is a wonderful member of DA that is full of joy, and there's some strange people in this program. At least that's what I thought, that they were strange because they were still full of joy. My sponsor is one of those people, and Doreen's one of those people. And it takes a lot of work to be like that. But I've heard it said before, and Doreen's probably said it herself, is, you have a choice. You can choose joy or you can choose to be miserable. It's up to you. And so Doreen has been so inspirational to me. She has been my friend on many different levels. And she's also a godmother to my pet. Without further ado, I introduce Doreen.
Thank you, Shauna. So I don't know. I'm so grateful, to be here with all of you. I love everyone so much, and I kind of got kicked into sharing when I first came in because I really connected with Shauna and I liked her, and she was getting the Friday 12:30 speakers. I think it's the last Friday of the month. And I was only around for a few months, and she asked me to tell my story, and I'm like, "What? What?" And then, but anyway, it worked out, and being with all of you, like I could cry. I'm smiling, but I could cry. It's totally changed my life because, well, I'll tell it like this. A few months ago at a meeting, somebody was there and he said that connection is the opposite of addiction. And that has stayed with me so strongly because he was telling me the story of my life. And I always thought that I was depressed because I was addicted to sugar and I compulsively overate. And I tried my whole life to find solutions for that. I even became a dietitian. I got a degree in nutrition, and what helped me was Overeaters Anonymous. And that is a program of miracles and transformation. And that is a real kick your ass program. And my first sponsor, one of my first sponsors, was one of the innovators and initiators of OA in the Northeast in Massachusetts, Boston area. And she had come from AA. And let me tell you, she did not have a lukewarm program. And I went to a meeting a day. And when there wasn't a meeting, I started a meeting. I sponsored tons of people. I've been through multiple step programs where there might be 200 people who all take commitments and we all sit, and you might cover a paragraph one week and you listen to those 200 people, whoever has the courage to share, and you learn. And then, the miraculous payoff with the 12 steps is, you're out there helping other people who have the same problem that you have, and it's working on you. And it's great, it's uplifting. Like, I think service is one of the best things that you can do. If you want to be happy, chair a meeting. If you want to be happy, read the book. And for me, the big Bible is the AA big book. And then I can tell you, I have learned so much. God bless you, for writing the DA big book and everything else that he wrote. I have learned so much regarding the steps, the program, and depression that it's amazing. Like I'm not even 3 years in yet, and we're doing the steps at the Thursday 8 p.m. meeting. And I'm writing notes. I'm writing notes. It's like, wow. And you see something that you didn't see before. Like, I guarantee you, it's like doing yoga. Every single day you do it, it never gets old. It never gets boring. Your body's a little tiny bit different every day. You could do the same pose every single day. You could open up that big book and read the same paragraph every single day. And you're going to learn something new about yourself. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And I remember when I got to OA and I came to understand what a fellowship means. And the first thing I thought was, wow, the Weight Watchers net lecturer never gave me her phone number so I could call her at 10 o'clock at night if I wanted to eat everything in the refrigerator, And we could do that here. Like one night, last summer was it? I was driving home from my yoga teacher's birthday party in Rhode Island, and I had stayed later, much later than I planned. And it was after midnight, and I thought, oh my God, I don't want to fall asleep on the way home. And I put a message on WhatsApp, and I talked to people the whole ride. I was walking in the door talking to someone in DA. I mean, guaranteed any time of the day or night. If you need someone, all you have to do is reach out and somebody will hear you and get you. So that connection is the opposite of addiction. I mean, you would never know from the way I am the horrible loneliness that I grew up with. I had a father who he was a milkman, and he would get up at 2 or 3 in the morning, go to work, and get done with his route by 11 so he could come home and change. And, one part of the year it was the dogs at Wonderland, and another part of the year it was the horses at Suffolk Downs. And the way he got away from my mother, who God love her, had all of her own problems. He would go to the track and leave me alone with someone that didn't really want to have a kid around. So my best companions were my dogs. And I love them dearly. And I understand my history and my background, but loneliness is a driving feature of my life. Being a neglected and abandoned only child, I mean, imagine there was a kid who couldn't wait for school to start in September so I could go be with people. And the people who come to these rooms, I mean, I've been to OA, a little bit of AA, ACA, Al-Anon, and everybody in every program you go to is amazing, but there's something above and beyond the people who come to DA. And I remember thinking in the beginning, oh my God, like I never want to lose these people. I love them. And one of the first meetings, like within the first few months, and then you hang out in the parking lot, and it's so great. And I remember saying, boy, I'm going to leave here, but I'll be holding your hand in my heart when I go. And that's how I feel. Like you're all in there, there's plenty of room, and we're all holding hands in that beautiful, innocent way of pure children. I heard somebody say once, the reason why God loves alcoholics so much is because they're innocent. And with all our trauma, We're beautiful little innocent children inside that have every hope, every opportunity, and every new day when we open our eyes to do something to help ourselves. And I know in that core of shame, if I tell on myself, I don't like to tell on myself. I want to tell you the good stuff, you know? But when I tell on myself, that core of shame, the level rises, like the bottom keeps coming up and up. And one of these days, it's not going to be there anymore. I'll be kind of like a normal person. Maybe not too normal. It's nice to be a little quirky. And let's see, I wrote a few notes. Oh, one thing I'll tell you, I can tell on myself today. Whenever I want to learn something, I teach it. And so, yoga, which has been easy for me, I've been teaching it and practicing it for 34 plus years, relatively easy, but meditation is not. So, why do you think I offer meditation every other week? You know, I go through periods where I might jump on it every day, day after day, month after month, but then bang, I go in the meditation desert for a while. So there's a lot to be said for step 11. And the way that it was taught to me in the beginning was a few minutes before breakfast and dinner, I was supposed to lay down, take quiet time, and my sponsor said, this is how you do it. You pick up a little daily reading book and you read the message and you think about it. And if you start to forget, you pick up the book, you read the message again. And so that's how I began to learn how to meditate. And it's really the motion, the activity of making myself do something I don't want to do. Like 2 years ago, I joined the gym and I heard people talking about exercise and how good it was. And so on New Year's Day, I walked over, I joined, and then I realized I loved it. I heard people talk about going out walking. I read the part in the DA book where Hugh talks about he thought, you know, going out walking would be good, and the walking he was doing wasn't enough. And then he went out and he walked 7 miles, and that helped, if I have it right. You know, I'm like a sponge. My most dear, dear OA sponsor, who sponsored me for so many years that we became like sisters, she died shortly after September 11th. But she used to say to me, I don't know anybody who chases spirituality and the program the way that you do. And I hope you all will be saying that about me when I'm gone. And so the funny thing is, when Bill asked me if I would speak today, I was like, what? I'm not speaking. You know, because the people that I think really recovered from depression are the ones with the really traumatic depression backgrounds and had ECT and did everything in the book and, you know, couldn't work. And I've been a functional depressive my whole life. I've had what one therapist called me smiling depression. And so that's my signal to me, you know, I need to speak my truth. I need to wake up in the morning and ask myself, what are you feeling? So when Bill asked me, I didn't answer for a few weeks. I said I would think about it because last year I led meditation and it was fun, and that's what I wanted to do. And then he asked me again a few weeks later, and I realized every single type of service thing that we do is a sacred gift that I can give to myself, that you give to yourself. And so then I finally said yes. But so my depression was always there. I thought It was because of my shame for my overeating, and it was very severe. And 2 years, the 2 years after I got to my goal weight in OA, I was so depressed and I had no idea what the hell was wrong with me. There I was. I thought I had everything that I always wanted. I could go into any store anywhere and buy beautiful clothes. I mean, what could possibly be wrong with me? And around about 2 years, I had a wonderful therapist, and I had a memory of childhood sexual abuse that I had experienced. And that was really extremely informing. And so by the time I worked on it, I had yoga therapy where you get held in a pose. I was with a therapist who held my body in cobra. I relived the experience. I had a massive experience with my therapist, and I knew I was remembering it. I knew it. And you know what your mind could do? So she was a body-centered psychotherapist at Suffolk University, and she used to take me on these little guided meditations. And one day I was in that meditation, and I was like sitting in, I was in this big thing that was shaped like a volcano. And when it was erupting, it wasn't fire and lava, like a tire iron would come out, and then the plastic top of an 8-pack of Coke, junk, just normal everyday junk. And then it got suddenly quiet. And if you're old enough and you remember Saturday morning cartoons, they would play classical music, and they would often play the Peer Gynt suite, and it was like a real sunrise kind of song. And in that vision that came to me, it got suddenly quiet, and it was like daybreak, and I hear this beautiful music like da 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 da, if you remember it. And then suddenly I see what I believe was my kundalini rising. It's the serpent at the base of the spine that's trying to make its way up in our lives as our consciousness is rising to become more and more conscious. And I knew it was the Kundalini because it had a beautiful feminine face, not a people face, but the face of the snake was beautiful and it had a feminine feel. And when it hit my chest, I heard myself say, "Sit up, tell her you're all done. Otherwise, you're going to have to remember that your father sexually abused you." And I sat up and I said, "Okay, that's enough for now." And then I stuffed it down for a while until it was ready to come out. And when it came out, I knew that that was why I wasn't a food addict. And that made me depressed. I was depressed because as a little 3.5-year-old girl, somebody fiddled with me in a way they were never supposed to have. And right about that time, my grandmother called me over to have breakfast with her. I had just eaten breakfast, but I went over and I had breakfast with my grandmother. And it hit me like the biggest hammer. I totally became addicted in that moment. Like it must have been there, the inclination. And I began eating every sugar and flour thing that I could get my hand on, as often as I could. And so I came here and I remembered the pathway, that it was the depression that gave me the addiction. And all these years later, I was able to work on the original wounding that gave me, the depression I feel was the result of that original wounding. So I've done so many things. My sponsor who died in after 911, she sent me on a quest as soon as she realized I wanted spirituality, and I read all the Carlos Castaneda books and the Dan Millman Spiritual Warrior books, and this amazing book that you can never read from cover to cover called Mysticism, and that's a classic. And you know, I have to say that working the steps, doing the tools, going to meetings, reading, talking to people, stepping up and doing service, having a sponsor and sponsoring, they are so mystical that unless you truly are brain dead, you're going to get better. You know, like I got better. I didn't just get a little better. I got massively better. I found a connection with the presence of a higher power. And once coming into that presence, that joy, that beauty, the miraculous incredulity of it will wipe away every trauma. It doesn't go away. It's still there. But then suddenly I have something better, which is really dumb why I don't want to meditate every day, right? Resistance. And so my best friends, I get together with them anytime I want. They're all of you. And I have my people. And I grabbed a bunch of my people a few months ago because I got this idea about team chairing of meetings. And you're going to be hearing me talking about that at every meeting. So picture this, guys. If four people, or five or six even, get together and share the chairing, nobody's going to get burnt out in 2 years and walk away and drop a meeting. You know, and that's fellowship. That's what it means. People have your back. You're not alone. So that's my new thing. A year ago, it was writing down everybody's stories and putting them on the blog. Yeah. Let's see my other notes here that I cover everything. Telling on myself. Oh, yeah. Just to repeat what Shauna said, you know, like I can choose joy. I can choose joy because the one thing I know is God is each and every one of us. God manifests each one of us to be an individualized manufacturing of itself. So that Godness is in us. That divine presence, that creativity, the little nudge, the little voice, the little glimmer that said to me not that long ago, oh, you know, you have to go and revamp the Thursday night meeting because I used to love that meeting. And then the two guys that chaired it disappeared. And then, you know, you see things flashing on your phone. Is anybody chairing? What's going on? So, you know, the biggest thing that you can love about yourself is that you are the vessel that which was never born, that which never dies, that which created the universe, you are the seed of that. I am the seed of that. I had my little sponsor in Chelsea, a little woman that never even went to college, who taught me how to sit in my apartment in Melrose and do that meditation, and the whole world could unroll itself. I don't know, it was Viktor Frankl or who said that. Just sit and be quiet long enough, and the whole world will come and enroll itself at our feet. People go to the Himalayas to find that. And I got it through my sponsor who never went to college, who did these steps, who stopped drinking and stopped eating compulsively and taught me to do what she did. And bang, I got what can't be paid for. I mean, really, guys. Isn't it awesome? Then somewhere along the line, about 14 years ago, I found Centers for Spiritual Living, which, if you want a church, which I really don't, I'm not an organized religion girl, but that was like the best kind of church I ever could have gone to. And what I learned there, I went and I studied with them for years. I became a spiritual coach with them. I mean, for somebody like me, I have no reason in the world to be depressed, not one. And I'm very blessed. The kind of depression I have is a blessing. It's situational. Something knocks me off the beam. I reach out, I get the help, I do the tools, I talk to people, and that's it. I get through it, like I'm just so overwhelmed with the beauty that is available, with the love and the light that is available, with everyone here who accepts me no matter what. The things that I hate the most about myself are not criticized. I am loved and accepted, and that's the way a human being heals. So here's what I want to say. These are the tools. We go to meetings, we read the literature, we talk to each other between meetings, we grab a sponsor or a co-sponsor, we hook up with the co-sponsor group. The best friends, I have friends all around the world and all over the country, and I'm going to be visiting them. So all I can say is thank you so very, 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 very much for being such a huge part of my life and my recovery, for helping me to stay grounded, for always being there for me. Because the best thing that the DA people do is they know how to love each other. And together with that, we can beat anything. I love you all so much. And I'll be holding your hand in my heart when I leave today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Doreen. We love you. And our timer had a work issue to do, but the timer's disabled from me using it on the screen. So I'll just keep time on my phone until that issue gets resolved. And the room is now open for sharing. Please raise your hand if you'd like to share. Michelle, please come on in.
Yes, I. Hi, my name's Michelle, recovering from depression, and I'm super excited to be participating in this conference with all of you today. Doreen, you were very instrumental in kickstarting my recovery, and I sincerely want to thank you for that. You were very encouraging in the after meetings. I was in such a deep, dark hole when I found DA. I think it was mid to late October of last year. So I'm kind of coming up on a year, even though I sort of took a hiatus during the holidays. Like Doreen said, you guys always on my mind, my best friends. Just a community I can plug into and feel like I am not alone. And that was huge in the beginning because I couldn't get out of bed. All I could do was hope to open my eyes before 1:30, before the meeting was over, and just kind of log in and listen. And I have this community to thank for where I'm at today, how I'm able to accept the things I cannot change and know that I can only control myself. And that's given me some freedom and empowered me to step out of my isolation and avoidance and begin to see outside of my clouded brain. We get so warped when we're in that dark place, and I'm so grateful for DA and Hugh, and I don't know what I would have done had I not found you guys. I wouldn't be where I am today. And Doreen, I just thank you so much for sharing your heart and your light and your journey and hearing your story once again. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Shauna, you had his hand up and then it went down. I'm not sure if he
Okay.
wanted to share or not.
Yeah,
Hugh.
Doreen. I'm Doreen. Yes.
Yeah,
Hello.
I'm
Oh, good.
here.
Yeah, you sure are. I was trying to find the hand, but the hand disappeared. But here I am. Hey, thanks so much for this testimony today that you gave to us. Poetic, powerful, meaningful. Your life has meaning, so much meaning for me and so many others. But I wrote down three of your one-liners, if you will. Service is a sacred gift to oneself. Wow. Boy, that resonates with me for some reason, other than the fact that it's so true. If people only knew how service given when you're depressed and at your lowest is really the sacred gift. So I thank you for that one. I think it's to connect is the opposite of depression. Connect, is that how you said it? Connect is the opposite of depression. Wow. Boy, that is true. That is so true. How much did I isolate when I was depressed? I would sit in a room or whatever and try to count all the little circles on the on the ceiling, you know, and then I'd lose count. I'd go back again. But that isolation is the killer. And if you don't have somebody to talk to about that, you're in danger. So I just want to mention how often I've heard that here, isolation. But connection is the opposite of depression. The third one is depression is the result of an original wound. Did you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. My gosh, that's so insightful and so true in my own life. Wow. So that's enough to meditate on all the rest of the evening and write about. There's many, many more, but those three really stood out. And I'm even surprised I can read my own writing. That's the miracle. But those three I can understand and relate to. Also, we've worked together in the past, and I admire your how should I say persistence. That's a gift you have, and that's a gift I wish I had more of. I've heard other people in this group today really talk about persistence, not give up, keep pushing on. And that's what I have to do if I'm going to stay out of depression. I've got to persist in talking to people, reading the literature, praying, and trying to keep focused on the most highest principles of life is to love thy God and love your neighbor as yourself. So thank you, Doreen, for your presence and for your wonderful, wonderful words today. Thank you.
Thank you, you.
You're welcome. You're most welcome.
Thank you, Hugh. I'll go ahead and take a share since I don't see another hand raised right now. I'm Shauna, gratefully in recovery for depression. And as far as connection, Doreen has been really good at connecting with me. And she would tell me, I'm going to the gym. Who knows about Jamaica Pond? She call me, Shauna. I'm walking around Jamaica Pond right now. I'm on my way to the gym, you know, and I want to see Jamaica Pond someday. I want to walk on Jamaica Pond with Doreen. She was a testament to me, you know, of what you need to do to get out of the pit. And, you know, Hugh as well, as far as getting moving. And I remember when I had chronic fatigue, I was very resistant, you know, and there wasn't a lot I could do at that time. So I had to take baby steps. I had to walk to the mailbox instead of walking 5 miles, you know, in the beginning. But that getting moving and contacting someone, talking to someone is so important. And I feel a little weird about saying this, but I feel like Doreen had a huge part in helping heal one of my animals. it sounds so weird, but she prayed. She prayed and she prayed and she prayed for this animal. And I was praying for this animal too, and chanting for this animal. And he made a full recovery. And it just touched my heart. It touched my heart that Doreen and others from DA cared about what my family is, because I have a furry family, you know, just as much as I did, you know, and did for me what I couldn't do for myself at that time, because I was so depressed about what was happening. But that animal made a full recovery. So Doreen, she sent me a magical healing chant, and I feel like Doreen is magical in many ways, and it's because she does believe in magic, you know, in higher power and something good, you know. She believes in healing, she believes in miracles, and so miracles happen all the time in Doreen's life because she sees them. And so I really thank you for that. You're a miracle in my life. Did anybody else want to share? Cecily.
Thanks, Shauna. Thank you so much for your service. And it's great to be here. I'm so glad to be on here and for the convention. Thank you for everyone who made this happen. I just want to say I'm so glad again that bow tie is okay. That I love it. I will always love that bow tie is Shauna's cat that went missing and miraculously came back and is still here with us. I'm so grateful. But thank you, Doreen, so much for your share. Oh my goodness, I wrote a whole bunch of notes. So I should say I'm Cecily, recovering from depression. Yeah, I wrote a whole bunch of notes. You said so many things, and I love you, Doreen. You're awesome, and just thank you for your love and caring and support with everything that's going on with me. It's even beyond the depression stuff, you know, with the eating disorder stuff. Thank you so much. I love you so much, and I so appreciate you. But okay, so here we go. Let me see what I can get in the whatever number of minutes I have left. So you said, let me see. Well, just I relate to your experience with OA. You know, OA was my first, was and is my program, and it also saved my life. And yeah, it does. It's a very serious program, and you know, and I didn't even get through the whole thing because my depression got in the way. You know, I mean, I've never gotten through all the 12 steps because you know, I realized this later that my depression and anxiety always got in the way, because I would, like, I got recovery, the miracle, the absolute 100% miracle from the food addiction side of my eating disorder. You know, and I've been in OA for like over 20 years, and I, you know, I got that miracle. But then the depression got worse, and I realized, you know, later that I would go to the depressive thinking, the saddening of myself, that I know what that is now because of DA, but I didn't know it then. You know, this was years ago. I didn't know that, but I would go to those, you know, sort of quote unquote comforting, giving up thinking thoughts. And there was nobody I could talk to. Like I had maybe two people I could talk to about the giving up thinking. And so I would just, you know, I would indulge in it, and I would fall asleep because there was not, there was, because I couldn't call this, you know, the hotline, the suicide hotline, you know, every day, multiple times a day, you know, so I would just go to sleep. And that was the depression too. You know, my sleeping, I mean, I've said this before, I wish there was like a sleeping addiction group, you know, because I would qualify for that. But I think that was my depression too. So, you know, oh gosh. Oh, I had so much more to say. I'll have to come back. I relate to so much of what you said. And just I just love you. How much time do I have left? Is it over?
Yes, the
Oh,
3 minutes is the
okay. All right. Well, I love what you said about I can choose joy, and that, you know, higher power is the answer, basically. And I agree. So, all right. Thanks so much. I pass.
time. Yeah. Thank you, Cecily. Next, we have Jenny.
Hey, everybody. Thank you all. Thank you so much, Doreen, for your share. What I'm noticing is I was grumpy. Like, and when it's when I heard your share, you know, just a vibration, a much higher vibration than mine is today. You know, and I have had moments when I have been able to taste some of that enthusiasm and positivity and joy and awe about this the ability of higher power. You know, but today I'm not feeling it, so I'm grumpy when I hear it because I'm envious because I don't have it. But it's an invitation. It was like, well, what am I witnessing? Thing. I'm witnessing gratitude. And I can practice, you know, like with the earlier things. Am I willing to practice gratitude when I don't want to do it? When I'm like maybe secretly saying, well, F you, HP, because you're not doing it my way today. And you've got me down here in the soup and the pot's on. And I want to be out of it on the side, stirring. Thank you very much. So I appreciate. So thank you for the share, and thank you, higher power, for this in, you know, for the, because what I am really hearing today is for me, I'm remembering moments of higher vibration, of believing in, of trusting, of being excited, because I have seen higher power at work and it is awesome. And I've gotten to taste that with all of you guys here. And you know, so maybe my part just for the day is, well, you know, why don't you move a little bit, Ginny? Why don't you practice well, one, why don't you just open up and admit where you're at? That's a good start. And from there, I can go forward and try the next right thing. Anyway, thank you for being you. I appreciate it. Pass.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny. Next, we have Teresa. This will be our final share.
Okay, mine'll be pretty quick. I'm Teresa, and I'm in recovery from depression, thanks to all of you. Thank you, Shauna, for your service. Thank you, Doreen. Thank you, all the speakers and everyone doing service. And thank you for everyone that is showing up to this conference. So I've been in a depression for the last couple of days, and today was really bad. So I just left my phone on and just listened. And I didn't listen with a lot of concentration, to be honest, but it's been a healing for me because now I got up. I'm actually doing something I've been wanting to do for a while, but haven't had the will or the energy to do, which is to clean and polish my hardwood floor in my dining room. So that's what I'm in the middle of doing while I'm listening to everybody. And you guys have just cheered me up because I just hear so much hope and it gives me hope. And thank you so much to everybody.
Thank you, Teresa. What a wonderful final share. Okay, well, we've just had our fourth awesome speaker of the conference. We have one more speaking at the top of the hour, so in about 7 minutes. So I'm going to take a break and I'll see you all back in about 7 minutes. And thank you so much again, Doreen, and everyone who's here today.
Thank you, Shauna.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Doreen.
Sean.
Thanks, everyone.
See you soon.
'Oh, you, are you still sticking around?
What's that?
Are you still sticking around, huh?
Yeah,
Been
who's
here the
this?
whole time. Kirk.
Who? Kirk?
Kirk in Denver.
Oh, I know Kirk in Denver. I know a Kirk in Chicago too. Which Kirk is it?
This is Kirk in Denver.
Okay, yeah. Well, hi, Kirk. Are you coming to the conference today?
Well, I was here in this morning when you shared. I was here for that, and then I stuck around for a little bit of Lynn. I was really busy. I was out running errands and doing stuff, and then I heard some of Cindy. And then I got real busy again trying to get stuff done. I'm extremely busy. And even though I'm still fighting off a really horrible cold and a sore throat, I've still been busy. I'm still keeping myself very busy.
Well, Kirk, are the night owls meeting now at midnight?
Yeah, they're kind of hit or miss. I mean, they're there. We've been
Good.
getting people popping in from Australia. We've had somebody from China. We've
Oh
had
my
somebody
gosh.
from Ireland.
Good. You'll
Yeah.
be multilingual.
Yeah. Well, they all spoke English, but we've
Oh,
had a
okay,
lot of
good.
different people from all over the world that have popped in, and then
Well, that's good.
we have some regulars that kind of pop in and pop out. It's kind of sporadic, but it's there. It's happening. It's only about 50 days old now. My signal go in and out?
Well, what did you say, Kirk? I didn't get that.
I said it's only about 50 days old.
Oh, okay.
It's been around for about 50 days now.
Well, wonderful. Longevity, huh?
Yeah.
Well, keep it up. Keep it up. The world needs help.
Yes.
We
Yes, it
all do.
does.
We do. We sure do. Yeah. Well, I'm so happy for you doing that.
I'm excited. I started real early in when I first came around. I kept trying to log on to the Australian meetings, and then I finally hit it at the right time. And I got to know Sandy and Georgina, and they are just wonderful, wonderful people. And
Yes.
I know you helped her start that meeting about 4 years ago, and they're off and running. I think they just suspended their Friday night meeting, but they still have their Sunday meeting. So early, well, it's late Monday afternoon for them, but for us, for me, it's a late Sunday night meeting. Actually, it is Monday morning. Monday morning at 1:30 a.m.
All right. Well, good for you. That's wonderful.
No, I went there. I went there this Monday, but there was no one there.
Yeah, it's like kind of hit or miss. So, but she's gonna speak. Comes on, it's gonna be about. I think it's gonna be about 2 or 3 a.m. Sunday morning for her when she comes on here in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Well, That's almost exactly 24 hours, huh?
Yeah.
Well, good.
I'm excited to hear her speak. She's a great speaker. How many people we have on? Oh, we still have a ton. Lots of people. Love that dog, Kara. Love that dog.
Oh, Brucey?
Yeah.
He snorted, thank you.
We got Tamara and Chad and Todd and Catherine.
Margo's here. Hi, Margo.
Hello. Hello. Are we kind of in between meetings right now?
We are. Yeah. Hey, Margo.
Hi, Cecily. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Good.
Hello.
Good.
Hello, Hugh.
Hello.
Hi, Doreen.
Hi, Margo.
Hello, all. Sorry to miss the previous speakers. I would have loved to have been here.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But you're here now.
You're right on time. Don't worry. You're right on time. I missed the first two, so you're not alone. No worries at all.
And Cecily, if you wanted to time the last session, that would be great.
Awesome. I would love to. Thanks so much.
Okay. And
it's 3 minute shares.
That's a good question. Is it 3 minute shares? Has it been 3 minute shares?
That's what we've been doing.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. And it is almost top of the hour. Is Georgina here? We're not yet.
I don't think she joined yet.
Okay. Should I go ahead and start reading the disclaimer while we wait for her?
Sure.
Okay. We'll go ahead and start then. And Shauna, thank you for making me co-host. Hello and welcome to the Journeys of Hope International Depressed Anonymous Zoom Conference on Mutual Support Towards Courage to Change. My name is Margot and I will be chairing this hour of the conference. Disclaimer. The Zoom conference sessions will be recorded unless the speaker for a particular session opts out. An audio-only version of the recording will be made available on the Depressed Anonymous website shortly after the conference. During the speaker's share, a moderator will be ensuring that everyone else's microphone remains muted. The speaker will talk for 35 to 40 minutes. For 10 to 15 minutes following the speaker, there will be open sharing. You can unmute your microphone at that time and ask your question or comment. People have been raising hands, haven't they, for the comment?
Yeah. Comment?
Okay, yes, please raise your hand. And if you do not want to be recorded, you may place your question in the chat box and I will ask the speaker that question. Please do not share identifying information. Anything said here today is the opinion of the speaker and does not represent the opinion of the Fellowship of Depressed Anonymous nor Depressed Anonymous publications. All statements are for informational purpose only and do not imply any guarantee of results just by listening to them. Any copyrighted material shared by a speaker is done so under the fair use doctrine, and the original copyright holder maintains full ownership of their material. If you are in crisis or if you are in imminent danger of injuring yourself or others, please leave this meeting and immediately call your local emergency services phone number or go to the nearest hospital emergency room. And I believe the recording is ongoing, right? It's already recording.
Oh, yes, it is already recording because I forgot to stop recording. So, yes, it is.
Okay, so the recording is underway. And we are now just waiting for our speaker, Georgina. Let's see. I don't see her here yet.
Let me go into the Australian WhatsApp chat room, and I'll give her a call, and then I'll come right back.
Okay, thank you so much, Kirk.
I'll go ahead and stop the recording because I know Bill can edit it. So I'll stop it for now since we're waiting.
Okay. Okay. And then I'll start it up when Georgina arrives. That sounds great.